The Justin Bartley Show.
They've already started to feel the effects.
My costs of doing business continue to rise.
How do you have this conversation?
You pray the way I pray.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Justin Bartley on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Hey, welcome into the Justin Bartley Show. This is a beautiful, gorgeous Monday. Thanks for being with us. We start off today with a conversation, you know, something that that I've kind of I've seen and known about for a while, but now they're really starting to talk about this on a larger scale. It's gotten a bigger spotlight, something I think is important because if you've got kids, I think even in high school, we talked about college, but high school seems to be one of those grades, too, that this type of thing is happening in as well. It's the rise of what they call study drugs. And I've had friends who've been prescribed these ADHD medications, and I know that they tend to, well, if they need a little money, they can sell some of their leftover prescription drugs. They sell them to friends who will abuse them or maybe even use them to study as well. And why that's dangerous, we'll be talking to a doctor here who explain this. Adderall, Ritalin, Vyvanse, the one that I seem to hear most about, Adderall. And then we just got a note here from Greg in the producer studio. We just found out Steve said that according to the information he has on the inside, the college kids are calling them Addies. Yeah, I've heard that before, too. Joining us on the phone line right now from Holland Hospital, a guest who will give us a little more insight on this, Dr. Bobga Fomenong on the phone right now. Doctor, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you. How are you?
You're a doctor of psychiatry there at the hospital.
That's correct.
So tell me about this. I understand that these types of drugs can help people who and really do miracles in their lives. A lot of them that have real issues with attention. You know, they can't necessarily concentrate on certain things, especially when it comes down to performing in college and in school and studying for tests, those types of things. It can really help, but at the same time, just like any other tool we see with fire, you know, look, it can cook your food, it can help you keep you warm, and or if fire is used incorrectly, it can burn you too. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. Adderall is just one class of medication that we use for patients who have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which is a disorder that affects a lot of kids, especially in middle school, high school. And now there have been a lot of cases with these kids who have transitioned into college, and they do have this disorder, and that's really affecting their ability to function academically. And so what happens is that when you give them the stimulant medications, of which Adderall is just one part, it actually helps them pay attention, it helps them focus, it helps them concentrate, and they can actually accomplish a lot of stuff, a lot of their reading, and their academic achievements within a short period of time. Unfortunately, like you rightly indicate, some of these children who do not have ADHD can also benefit from this medication because it also helps their productivity. And so there's always the risk of abusing these medications, and there are quite a few cases of abuse. And one of the things that I've often told parents in particular, especially for those who are in high school and also transitioning into college, is that Adderall is really a real drug. It's a real drug, but most people do not think that it is a real drug. And it is classified actually as a Schedule 2 by the DEA. And that means that it has a very high potential for abuse, and it can lead to severe psychological and physical dependency, and hence they are considered very dangerous. Maybe a little less dangerous than heroin, but certainly more than Valium. But despite this warning, unfortunately, only about 2% of students nationwide consider this drug dangerous. About 81% overall do not think that it is is dangerous at all.
And why is that? Because it comes from a pharmacy, the doctor prescribes it. What's the reason for that, you think?
That's primary reason. Whenever the idea is that when a doctor prescribes something, then it cannot be dangerous. It can only become dangerous, of course, if you overdose on it or if you abuse it. But they always have to keep in mind that it's a Schedule II, and there's a reason why it's a Schedule II. It simply means that it has, like I stated earlier, it has a very high potential for abuse. And that's exactly what's been happening. As a matter of fact, the most recent statistics suggest that 2/3 of college students are offered Adderall and other prescription stimulants by their senior year. And about half of that group, approximately 31%, use it consistently. And so, unfortunately, also, is that most of these kids get it from a friend. They do not get it from their doctors. And so, when they get it from friends, whether they have ADHD or not, they helps them function better. And so, because it's prescribed by the doctor, even though it is not prescribed to them, they figure if my friend is prescribed by the doctor, then it must be a safe drug, and we can just go ahead and use it.
So tell me, Dr. Bobga Fomenong on the phone with us right now from Holland Hospital, is a doctor of psychiatry. What are some of the side effects? Because I still, as I've heard you speak about this, you said, well, this can actually help people be more productive. We just had someone say that they use it to motivate them to clean their house. And there's all kinds of things that can get done by abusing this drug. What are side effects? What are negatives? Why should parents and people be concerned when it comes to using an Adderall or some sort of stimulant when they're not prescribed the drug?
Okay. Yeah, there are a number of side effects. Now we can talk about side effects that you can get just by taking the medication as prescribed by your doctor if you have ADHD. The common side effects that we hear a lot is headaches, stomach aches, decreased appetite, weight loss, and that's another thing too, the weight loss property as a side effect. Some kids also use it.
Hold on, now you're talking about that like it's a bad thing, doctor. weight loss. See, I also know people that have taken this drug specifically for that, because then they're not hungry and they got they're sped up and they do lose a little weight and they like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's one of the advantages. If you, again, going back to people who have prescribed the medication, if they have some issue with, you know, excessive appetite, then it can be beneficial. However, you know, like every other drug, especially with a stimulant drug like this, when you abuse it, there's always the potential for you to become paranoid. You can even have anxiety and you have severe depression.
Well, then you can give me something else for that, huh?
Well, that's the thing. You know, you run the risk of being treated for side effects with another medication, and then you just end up having lots of other medications added on top of others.
And since we're talking about college students and some of these drugs that are being used, if you have kids in college, or matter of fact, you got kids on your way, something to be I would say aware of is that there are these drugs called study drugs. They call this the college crack. It's called Adderall, and along with other like Ritalin, Vyvanse, you know, a couple other different ADHD medications, these are drugs that kids are using and abusing in schools to help them study, concentrate, focus, lose weight, all kinds of number of different things. But doctor, let me ask, what are the negative things? Because I know that if you look at college students, you're not just going to have that, well, studying, but I think even a bigger part of college might be the partying. And now that you said, well, maybe they're paranoid or they're up there just like Elvis, they're going to want something to even them out. And I'm assuming, and since they're in college, there's probably going to be a fair amount of drinking going on, and they're going to mix that drinking, the alcohol, with the Adderall. What happens in that case?
Oh, okay. There are a lot of things that can go wrong. In fact, 1/3 of student users report that they take prescription stimulants to stay awake to parties. And an overwhelming percentage, about 90% of college students who have used Adderall non-medically, also report binge drinking as well. And so most of the time when these college kids are using this Adderall or the stimulants in particular, they also use it in combination with other substances like alcohol.
So when they're using it to stay up and continue the party, you're saying?
Correct, yeah. Correct. So when you have that combination of the alcohol and the Adderall cocktail, you run the risk of heart palpitations, hypertension, stroke, sudden cardiac death, seizures have been reported in people who have used these drugs in combination for long periods of time. And so, unfortunately, kids do not really think about, or these college students do not think about the potential danger that are associated with these drugs, especially in combination with other medications. Very rarely do you have these college kids just take Adderall, alone. They usually take it, again, with college kids in particular, with substances, alcohol and maybe marijuana, and that combination can be very, very lethal.
Doctor, I got to ask you when we come back, I would like for you to answer the question, because what we've laid out the side effects, it's enough for me, when I was a kid, to stay away from drugs because it just scared the crap out of me. I don't know what it was, but when I was a kid, I just, you know, I heard all the stories and I just didn't want anything to do with any of the drugs. How do you talk? I guess the question here is, how do you talk to your kids about these in a way? Because the things that you just listed off are enough for me. You know, I'm a little bit older now, so I think to myself, well, I don't want any of those. You know, heart attack, you're talking about, stroke. I mean, that would be the worst thing. If you didn't die right off the bat from some of this, from the drug use, you know, you end up with a stroke and then, you know, you're in a wheelchair and you can't take care of yourself for the rest of your life. And that just scares me to death. But how do you talk to your kids about these subjects? How do you talk to them in a way where you actually make a dent and you're able to really, you know, help push them in the right direction and guide them in the way that they do stay away from these temptations? Because, you know, like you said, when it comes to the prescription drugs, and as this report from CNN calls it, the rise of study drugs, the college crack, Adderall, things like that, because it's prescribed from a doctor and because it's, you know, something that you've probably seen on television a commercial for, these types of things, they seem a lot more alluring and like they're really, there is no issue with taking it, that you're going to be fine because, hey, this is an official drug. Or not even a drug at all. It's kind of like candy. So how do you talk to your kids about this in a way that'll steer them clear, keep them away? Dr. Bob Gafumanung, we talk to you as we continue next. Doctor of Psychiatry there at the Holland Hospital in West Michigan. We appreciate your phone call, doctor. Hang on 1 second. Your call's for the doctor, too. 616-774-2424. And if you're listening right now thinking, well, doctor, I kind of use a little bit of extra productivity. I could use a little cleaning around the house. Maybe I should get my kids on this stuff. Maybe yourself. We'll talk to him next and find out, like, who really should be taking these things and who should as well. It's the Justin Barkley Show.
The Justin Barkley Show continues on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Study drugs being used in college and in high school. It could be really harmful for your kids. They may be using a college crack. What do you do? How do you talk to them about this and make sure that they are aware and stay away? Dr. Bob Gafumanung joins us now from Holland Hospital, Doctor of Psychiatry. And Doctor, we were just talking about how you actually have the conversation with your kid. You just told us all these, just to kind of go back through some of these really severe and crazy side effects when it comes to abusing these drugs, especially if you mix them with alcohol, which, who's going to do that? Well, that's the purpose, you're saying, some of the kids do, because they want to stay up later. They want to party later and continue the party. I don't know about you, but, you know, when I have a little alcohol, you know, I was always the guy who, you know, if I have even a couple of beers or something, you know, I'm ready to lay down. I'm ready to take a nap, you know. But there are some people that they just get going. They get just, their fire gets lit, and then, boy, they just can't stop. And that would be some of the kids with the Adderall. Now, you're saying that it can cause severe, like sudden heart attack where their heart would just stop. It could cause stroke.
Seizures.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there's many issues that can happen, and it is a very scary, a very real and serious issue with the abuse that's happening because the kids are taking it for multiple different reasons, because they want to study, because it makes them more productive, because they're able to focus on the task at hand, and then the other thing, like we just mentioned, partying and being able to stay up later. But how do you as a parent have a conversation with your kids about these drugs and make sure that they're aware and that they stay away?
Most of the time, some parents who have expressed similar concerns to me I've often told them to just identify the side effects like we just went through and listed, and that's usually enough to scare them. Unfortunately, as you know as well as I do, college kids, they tend to think that they are invincible and that, you know, it's going to happen to somebody else and not happen to me. And so you may go further and try to let them know that if they really truly do have attention deficit, there are other avenues we can take. You don't necessarily have to put them on these stimulant medications. If they really truly have ADHD, there are non-stimulant medications like Strattera, like Intuniv, like Wellbutrin that have had some success in relieving the ADHD symptoms without the potential for all these dangerous side effects that we talked about. And so if you talk to your children and say, let them know that this is what could go wrong, and there are studies that have shown that these things have actually happened to real patients, it tends to be more persuasive to the kids. But at the same time, you want to make sure if your child really has had a problem with ADHD, and typically ADHD, one of the important criteria to determine whether your child has ADHD is that they have had several of the symptoms before age 12. So very rarely, and there are cases of that, however, where you can have ADHD just happening in adulthood without actually having occurred in childhood. So if your child has a legitimate disorder of ADHD, then you want to make sure you treat it. And but again, if you provide them with the dangerousness of these drugs, if they abuse it, then you'll probably be able to get them to stay away from it. The problem is really not the ones that have ADHD. Usually the ones who have not been diagnosed with ADHD, but they're actually abusing it. And so what happens is that it is very easy for children to fake having the symptoms of ADHD. And that's part of the problem. And sometimes you just have a screening tool, or they may just fill out a form, and some doctors will just go ahead and say, okay, based on the results of this screening tool, we're going to go ahead and put you on medications, and they usually go with the stimulants. But you have to really make sure you get a diagnosis through clinical evaluation, asking questions, getting history, collateral information, and then if there's any doubt, then you can do the neuropsychological testing to confirm that. And even after confirming it, you don't necessarily have to start them on a stimulant. You can start them on a non-stimulant. And many times when I get some kids whom I suspect they are just here to get the prescription, I usually, after a thorough evaluation, I usually start them on non-stimulants. And when they come back and say to me, well, doc, that's not working, And you find out that they're probably not taking the medication, those are the ones where they raise a red flag that these are the ones who are probably faking the diagnosis when indeed they don't have the diagnosis.
There you go. Well, doctor, one last thing. I noticed as I read in the story, well, there's a difference between the glamorization and one of the kids talks about that was being interviewed, that they don't really take into effect and account that this drug is, it's illegal to abuse Adderall when you're not prescribed. Because it says it helps me get through on my paper, everyone else is doing it, that sort of mindset. And I think the glamorization here is a lot different. And we're talking about something that's very close to what, like meth. And right. If you look at, like, meth users, well, I mean, you see the pictures on the internet and whatnot with the people that had the hollowed out cheeks, the rotting teeth, the skin scores, you know, they're scratching and all that. Meth addicts are a lot worse when it comes to the stigmatization, but boy, we really just, it's a prescription drug, so it's got to be okay. It's really dangerous. Dr. Bobga Fomenung, thank you so much for joining us today. Doctor of Psychiatry at Holland Hospital, we really appreciate you being with us today.
Sure, my pleasure.
Thank you, doctor. Coming up next, we're talking about Easter candy and the Easter holiday, some of the things that you might be getting, when it comes to your candy, your plants, those types of things, and how dangerous they can be with pets. From the Pet Files on World Radio, Saturday 8 to 9, Dr. Kirsten Marshall joins us. She'll be on the line coming up next, 9:34 World Radio. Plus, we'll grab your calls, too. 616-774-2424. Say you want to be in the movies or on television. You think you have star potential, or maybe you know somebody who does. I'll tell you about a brand new television show that's casting in the area. Kind of an interesting, unique. Never seen anything done like this before. As we talk to casting producers coming up this morning on Wood Radio as well. Justin Barkley Show continues next at 934.
616-774-2424. That's 616-774-2424. Now, more of the Justin Barkley Show on Wood Radio.
That was Mitt Romney. Hey, on the phone line with us right now, we're talking pets. I know, look, I got, I was surrounded by pets yesterday for Easter. Dr. Kirsten Marshall's on the phone with us right now from Bridges Animal Hospital at Ada Village there and host of the Pet Files on Wood Radio here. Saturday, 8 to 9. Doctor, I got, I was surrounded by dogs yesterday. I got to do a count real quick. I believe there were 13 dogs yesterday for Easter at my wife's grandmother's house. 13.
You had probably more dogs than humans. That's an interesting dinner arrangement you had there.
We did. We have my two dogs, her dad's two dogs, her aunt's dog, a dog from the neighbor's house that likes to come over and play, and then her aunt's dog had seven puppies about a month ago. So we had
that's insane.
we had insanity yesterday, but boy, it's a good time. And I got to say that especially around this time of year, Easter, there are some dangers we had, and we were just kind of reminded of with the story I just read the other day talking about, you know, some of the things that we have to be careful for, we have to look out for around Easter time. We have the candy, just like kind of like Halloween. And there's some plants that are maybe dangerous for dogs, too. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the things that are kind of dangerous we need to be on the lookout as pet owners?
Well, I think you hit the two big ones. The two big ones are the plants. And who doesn't love the smell of an Easter lily? You know, they're everywhere. You can't go into the grocery store or the florist or any place without smelling them. We love them. We put them on our table. We put them on, you know, our counters. And cats, it's very, very poisonous for our cats. And what do cats do? Even if they're not supposed to, they jump on the table, they jump on the counter. Mm. And cats like to rub themselves on things. Every part of the lily is poisonous to the cat, whether it's the leaf, the stem, the flower, the little powder that falls out. If you have a cat in your house, I always say, you know what, give the lilies to someone else, because lilies are just a big danger for kitty cats.
Thank God. We don't have any cats, but we do have an Easter lily. We got somebody brought it to the house and dropped it off. Very nice folks from the church
great.
Down the street.
Yeah. And for the dogs, it's a little easier to keep it out of their way. It's not nearly as big of a poison issue with the dogs, but you mm-hmm. still don't want them eating it. So you can put it up and away from them, not on the counter next to your pork chops, because the dog is going to be too tempted and might get the plant at the same time. For our dogs, really, it's more of an issue with the candy, as you said. Here's the other thing that dogs do, and it happened at my house yesterday morning. You know, you put all of the Easter eggs that you've hidden outside or inside, and then the dog is part of the family collection, and my dog ate more than a few hard-boiled eggs that were colored and got into a couple of the plastic eggs, too. So you do have to be careful about that because chocolate is really not good for your dog.
And you said the hard-boiled eggs. I can't imagine that the that's got to be fun sitting around on the couch with that dog and the gas. It's got.
I have a Labrador. He eats anything, and you know, little blue stained lips. It was great. That's the first time this happened at my house. So your veterinarian is not immune to all of the things. It's one of those do as I say, sometimes not as I do type of things. But still, we need to be careful. The kids have their Easter baskets all over the house, and dogs are very, very smart at investigating what's in there. And you don't want to come home at the end of a day of work, or the kids come home from school and find that your dog has feasted on the Easter baskets and is lying in the corner quite sick.
We have a little tiny 6-pound Papillon named Winnie.
Okay.
And she is just like your lab. She will eat anything. I don't know.
And lettuce. It's even more of an issue because with my Labrador, he's an 80-pound dog. So we have a little bit more of a margin of error there with chocolate. The rule of thumb is milk chocolate 1 ounce per 10 pounds is going to cause problems. So for your tiny dog, it wouldn't take much, you know, one or two of the mini chocolate bars, and you're going to have an issue. So you do have to be extremely careful with the chocolate.
We try to keep the chocolate away from her, but she does. She will eat. I've never seen a dog that eats any. If you drop a little piece of spinach on the floor, you make it a salad, she'll eat it.
Well, you know, you can use that to your advantage. You can use green beans, carrots, and spinach as treats, possibly.
She loves
carrots.
But
because they don't
discern
very well, she's going to go after the chocolate and all of the things she shouldn't eat, too.
What about, like, onions? She goes crazy when we're in the kitchen chopping anything because she loves the onions. Matter of fact, at her when my wife had her at my I guess my in-law's house a while back. They had the wild onions growing in the yard. She'd go in the backyard, dig them up, eat them, and she'd come back with her breath smelling like onions.
That's actually a really good question. Onions are kind of toxic to dogs, so yeah. I would sort of cut that habit.
Yeah.
And some dogs, we don't know why some dogs are more sensitive than others, but it can cause kind of a strange little anemia with dogs.
Yeah.
Same thing with grapes. Grapes are one of those things that a lot of people will, you know, pop the dog a grape as you're eating grapes. Grapes can be extremely toxic to dogs as well. We don't exactly know why, and we don't know which dog is going to be affected, so it's best to keep things like onions and grapes out of the way.
How about guacamole? And the reason I asked this is Friday night, we're sitting on the couch, and, you know, we just decided, okay, let's pick up some food, and we're going to just kind of veg out and have dinner and eat it right there on the couch and watch some bad TV. And what? And so my wife's got the guacamole sitting on the table next to her. And Winnie, the little 6-pound vacuum cleaner Papillon, just crawls right up over and goes over and snags a huge bite of guacamole right out of the container. And Lizzie's sitting there like, oh, my gosh, what did you do?
Winnie must have an iron gut, because Winnie's eating a lot of things and you guys aren't having problems secondary to it. Avocados are very toxic to birds, so keep them away if you've got a bird. For dogs, all of these different things that your dog is kind of putting in her stomach, dogs do best with a very consistent, almost boring diet. And the more people food and different things that we feed them, the more likely we are to have all sorts of problems.
Yeah.
Some of them poisonings, but more likely you're going to have issues with her being a little bit chubbier than she should be, and then all the diseases that can happen secondary to that. So I'm a huge fan of treating my dog. We all, let's be honest, we all like to do it. And when someone comes into my office and says, oh, no, Dr. Kirsten, nothing ever passes my dog's lips except dog food, I honestly don't believe them, because we all do it.
Yeah.
But we can be smart about how we do it. You know, when we have a hamburger, the dog doesn't need the hamburger. Then we can have a little stash of illegal treats on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing with treats is we want to remember it should be no more than 5% of the diet, which is really tough.
Dr. Kirsten Marshall on the phone with us right now, Bridges Animal Hospital at Ada Village, and host of the Pet Files show right here on World Radio, Saturday 8 to 9. We're talking about what your dogs and what your pets, your cats, et cetera, need to look out for, especially because of the Easter season with the chocolate, the candy, the eggs that you've been hiding, and maybe the plants that are around the house. And, you know, you just mentioned, here's the weird thing about our two dogs. We have Winnie, who is, you know, like 5 years old. She's like a 6-pound Papillon. So you just told me she must have an iron gut, and I think she does, because she never has any problems. She'll eat everything. Now we have Cricket is the big black lab who is getting older, and she is very picky and won't touch anything that she doesn't really, really love. She will beg for certain foods when we're eating, but other than that, she's pretty good. She does not have an iron gut. She has the irritable bowel syndrome type thing.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, you need to keep everything out of her mouth then.
We have to be very careful about even the dog food that we give her, you know?
And, oh, certainly. Certainly. So she's definitely a dog that you don't want to have all of these extra things out for, lest you have all kinds of problems. She eats those things, you'll have lots of messes to clean up.
Yeah, we don't like that. Not at all. And we have. Is there anything else that we have to look out for when it comes to, you know, especially in this time of year with the dogs?
This time of year, when we're speaking specifically about holidays, and you nailed it, with all the people we have over, it's stressful for some pets. So we've got the stress, which can really irritate GI issues as well as a lot of other things. But the chocolate, the human food, all of the leftovers that we may think we want to share with our dogs, the Easter lilies for the cats, and I would also say all of the lilies that are coming up outside too. So if you've got a kitty that spends time outside, think carefully about what you want to plant, because as they kind of, you know, rub themselves next to the stargazer lily that's coming out of the ground, you can have problems with that as well. So really, it's common sense, but none of us are ever very good at that. And it's so easy to get sucked in by those big brown eyes and give them something we shouldn't. But if we can really be good about feeding them their dog food, their cat food, with the occasional accepted treats, will go a long way to preventing problems. Keep you out of your veterinary, keep your dog healthy.
Dr. Kirsten Marshall, you know, I got to check back in with you soon, because we are actually getting one of those puppies, one of the seven that we talked about. And Winnie, we got Winnie when she was a puppy, and I remember that experience, but I think some of it I blocked out.
I'm sure you do. Most of us do.
But we have, you know, they were just too cute for us to pass up. And we have the ability and the means to take care of her. So we thought, let's get a we'll take a puppy and we'll rescue one of these dogs here. So I know I got all kinds of questions, and I want to make sure that we bring her up right, because of the Papillon, my wife, you know, she's a lap dog. My wife just spoils her rotten, and I don't want, like, you know, this golden, this little puppy that we're getting, her mom's like, gosh, I think her mom's like 80, 90 pounds. I don't want an 80, 90 pound lap dog. You know what I mean?
Well, and it's true. You know, and dogs will do whatever we allow them to do. If you think about it, Goldens, Labradors, they're very smart. And their goal in life is to please us. Yeah. So if you set down the boundaries very quickly, it's harder, I think, for us to stick to it than it is them. Now, when we have our smaller dogs, I think the problem is they're so darn cute, and it's so easy to let them sit on our lap. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to share our guacamole with them. It's so easy for them to be, you know, regarded more as an appendage to us than an actual dog. And that's sometimes where we get into behavior problems. The dog isn't doing anything outside of what a dog will do. They're just sort of pushing it a little bit, and if we let them get away with it, well, from their perspective, that's the bar has now been set on their behavior, and it may not be where we want it to be. So it's all about the human and how we ask the dogs to interact with us in our house. So sometimes, again, it's harder for us than it is for them.
The one thing I do want my dogs to pick up in the kitchen that I'd like to get some advice on maybe at a later date, that they don't. Every food, every piece of scrap that would ever fall in the kitchen, they're all about picking up. But the one that they won't pick up that I'd like for them to get is the ice cubes when they fall out of the refrigerator. they won't touch the ice. They maybe go up to it and smell it. But I used to have a dog. He was like a vacuum cleaner. Anything that fell, Max would he would go in and pick up. I never had to pick up an ice cube, but you might have to fight him if a piece of turkey or something fell on the floor. I mean,
your dogs just have discerning palates. They decided that the ice cubes really aren't all that special, so they're going to leave those for you. But anything really tasty, they're going to hoover right up.
Can they even taste? I mean, can they really taste the food, or is it just a smell?
Absolutely.
Really?
Dogs explore the world with their mouth, so the more potent it is and the stinkier it is, the more likely they are to eat it. So yes, they do taste. They taste things just like we do. Cats are slightly different. They don't have a taste buds for sweets, believe it or not. That's why we have less problems with them eating our chocolate than the dogs. But with dogs, absolutely, they'll eat anything that tastes good or that smells good. And again, if it comes from our counter, it comes from us, so it's an especially yummy thing, and they're more likely to jump right on it.
Dr. Kirsten Marshall, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Bridges Animal Hospital in Ada there. Bridges. AnimalHospital.com, and of course, host of the Pet Files here, Wood Radio, Saturday, 8 to 9. Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome.
Who is John Galt? From town criers to class clowns, West Michigan gathers here daily. The Justin Barkley Show on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
You ever feel like society is just too much? You want to pack it up and maybe start your own thing? Casting director, she's supervising casting producer for Fox's new show Utopia, utopiatv.com. Kristen Curtin joins us on the phone right now. This is really kind of a cool concept for a new show. Never seen anything like this before. What exactly is it?
Well, Utopia is the biggest and boldest social experiment to hit reality TV, and it's a new show for Fox. And we're taking 15 strangers from, you know, all different walks of life with different ideas of what an ideal society should be, and they actually get the chance to create it. So they take a year, and, you know, they kind of decide what kind of society they want, and then actually get the chance to create it and keep it running. It's pretty cool.
Where are you guys going to film this thing?
Location to be determined. We're not disclosing that just yet.
Okay, so can I ask general basic questions about it? Like, is it going to be in the middle of nowhere, that type of place?
Totally, yeah. So it's an isolated terrain. They have limited resources, maybe like a barn-type structure with some land and livestock and, no food, no heat, no shower, no bed. You know, no one's in charge. There are no rules or laws. So it's kind of up to these pioneers to decide what they want to do.
See, if you would have came out with, deserted island, tropical weather, I was all in at that point.
That's a different show.
I would have signed up. Yeah, I guess that is kind of a different show, though, isn't it? So what do they do? 15 people in a undeveloped location for an entire year. How do they, are there any rules to how they will start and what they need to do to start their new society on this show, Utopia, Kristen?
You know, it is the social experiment, so it is completely up to them how they want to do it and what their first priorities are and what they want to set up and structure. You know, They might be more of the survivalist, live off the land type, or they might be more of the, you know, let's create commerce and figure out how we can, you know, build our society with commerce and money. But we're looking for people who have not only these great ideas and passion about what society could be or this ideal utopia, but they also have some skills that they can bring along that they can, you know, start to create this society. So they could be farmers or doctors or contractors or college students or teachers, former military. I mean, all walks of life, as long as they have some sort of skill that they can bring that makes sense to creating a society, that's what we're looking for.
And of course, as casting director, you guys aren't going to make this easy for everybody. You had to make it interesting for television, so you're probably going to put some folks together with some personalities that may not necessarily mesh, right?
Well, the idea is to see, like I said, it's an experiment, so the idea is to see if you can take 15 people with different ideas and a concept of what society should be, and can they work together to create this? You know, the ultimate goal is that we really want them to succeed and to see if this can all work out. So while they have different ideals or belief systems, which naturally will cause some sort of conversation, or, you know, sometimes it causes conflict, sometimes it causes alliances, or sometimes they're able to work through their differences. So it's sort of to see, like, if we bring these people together, can it make, you know, can it work?
So we just had somebody call in and ask, why not an even number of people? Is there something to the number 15?
You know, that's out of my range. I don't know. That was the number I was given. So okay. I don't know what the message of the madness is behind that.
Well, you know, if there's a vote on something, there's got to be an odd number so you can tie break, right? So maybe
15.
Yeah,
and there will be down the road, the show will start airing as it's filming, and America will be very involved. There'll be a large social media component. People will be able to go online and watch 24-hour footage.
Are we going to be able to vote people off the plantation or whatever?
Well, you know, there may be some elements down the road where, you know, someone's not working out and their utopians want to vote them off. That might be part of it. But we're still working through some of that.
So they want to be on the Fox new show, Utopia. Kristen, what do they do? Because I know you guys are casting in the area.
We are. We're there right now. So if anyone is interested, they've got to apply, like, right now, right this minute, at utopiatv.com. And they fill out a little application and upload a video, 3 minutes or less, telling us about themselves, you know, where they're from, their background, and what their ideal utopia is.
There you go. Hey, Kristen, thank you so much for joining us. Kristen Curtin with the new show, Utopia, which will be airing on Fox coming up. When did you say you think this will be live?
It'll be filming later this year, so it'll be airing in the fall.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Thanks so much.
Have a great day. We've got a weird wiener alert, just to let you know, by the way, online, if you haven't seen the story already, facebook.com/WoodRadio, woodradio.com. Oscar Mayer has recalled a couple of weird wieners. They've got their, it looks like their regular hot dog, and then a hot dog with cheese in the middle of it, which I've always been kind of, I love cheese, but I've always been kind of leery of the hot dog. Greg, would you eat a hot dog that has cheese inside of it?
No, I don't like hot dogs anyway.
You wouldn't do that at all. What if it had bacon?
Maybe.
Bacon-wrapped hot dog with cheese. By the way, they're recalling that. You need to see that story, as well as a story about the 16-year-old who hitched a ride to Hawaii, went to Maui. He climbed up in the wheel well of the jet that took off and then flew to Maui. I don't know how. Apparently clinging to the landing gear. We just went to Maui last year. That's a long flight, by the way. And what concerns me is, you know, when you look at terrorism, you look at Homeland Security, etc., how does a 16-year-old climb into the wheel well of a jet and fly to Maui, yet I got to get bent over with a rubber glove when I go through just to go on vacation? I don't get it. What's up with that? Those stories and more, woodradio.com and facebook.com/woodradio. Justin Barkley's show back tomorrow at 9:06. Clint Beck coming up at 10:06 this morning on Wood Radio.